This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right. Let's round up all the Chiefs topics for today and put them into one pot and go from there. Let's start with Patrick Mahomes. Now, it wasn't that long ago that Pat was kind of interested in playing in the Olympics. I mean, this was in 2023. Pat showed an interest in competing in flag football and playing in the Olympics.
Oh, I definitely want to. I've seen some of those guys play the flag football, and they're a little faster than I am. I know there's not like a lot of linemen blocking for you. So I'll be 31, 32 years old. So if I can still move around, then I'm gonna try to get out there and throw the football around. Maybe in LA. Just don't tell Coach Reed or Veach or anybody.
So this was Patrick Mahomes a couple of years ago. Well, now you got your opportunity to play in the Olympics. They asked Pat about it today. Pat was singing a different tune.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome, honestly, just to be able to showcase the NFL to the whole world through flag football. But I'll probably leave that to the younger guys. You know, I'll be a little old by the time that thing comes around.
Now, I want you guys to be clear here. I'm having a little bit of fun. I don't care if Patrick Mahomes competes or doesn't compete in the Olympics. In fact, it's probably better for everybody if Patrick Mahomes is nowhere near Los Angeles during the Olympics, at least on the field. If you want to be a spectator and you want to go watch the 100-meter dash, have all the fun in the world. I'm perfectly fine with Patrick Mahomes not participating in their 7-on-7 flag football drill that they got planned during the Olympics. So I don't care about this. I do care about this part of it, though. You guys remember the quarterback for the actual United States flag football team and came out and said, you know, I'm better than Pat. I think I got a better IQ. I'd like to see him do. You guys remember him? Well, that guy's been kind of making the rounds the last couple of weeks. He's been going on different shows, kind of talking about those and saying, hey, just because these guys are in the NFL, their spots are not guaranteed because they don't play flag football. Here's my suggestion. Now, I think the players would sign up for this. I don't know if the league would let them do this. Why not let the United States men's flag football team play these guys in a game and the team that wins gets to represent the United States in the Olympics? That's a game I'd actually be kind of interested to see. I'd be really intrigued to see the United States guys. These other guys are telling us we deserve to be in the Olympics and we are the guys that have made this a thing. I'd be kind of interested in seeing them play the United States flag football team. That might be one of the most competitive games that we get in this entire thing. Can we set that up? I mean, in the summer, we get a lot of nonsense on television. How many different celebrities do I get to watch play Wheel of Fortune or Family Feud or mini golf? You were telling me that on a July day on ABC, we can't see the NFL team go up against the United States team. I mean, they have to practice against somebody, right? I mean, even the United States men's basketball team, they scrimmage, they play exhibitions, they play other countries and other entities and games to get ready for the actual competition. Are they going to do that with the United States team in flag football? We've never done this before. This is our first time. That's the matchup I want. If the United States feel like they already have an Olympic team and they don't think it's fair that Justin Jefferson is going to come in and take your spot, they don't think it's fair that Lamar Jackson can never play flag football and then sign up and take your spot, why don't we have the guys that play flag football regularly challenge the NFL team and play a game to decide who gets to go to the Olympics? Sign me up for that game. I'll watch that game.
I mean, I would watch that game, but isn't that game just like a appetizer for the Olympics? Like, how many times do we get appetizers for the Olympics like that? I guess, let me phrase it differently. We do get appetizers for the Olympics like that, but do you care about the prelims? Like, for running, a sport that we know is in the Olympics every year, do you find yourself watching on television when it's, you know, the runners up in Oregon? Let's see who does and doesn't make the Olympic team. Maybe you are, but are you locked into the scrimmages and things happening in Vegas for who does and doesn't make the Olympic basketball team? I think your idea is good because everyone watches football, but we already have this in the Olympics and no one seems to watch these events.
I mean, I definitely am interested in the trials. I mean, it's also the World Championships in track, but I mean, and I think with the Olympics, they also have the FIBA tournament that is a little bit different here. I mean, I'd be really, really curious to see what it looks like. Like, these guys that play flag football are telling me, they are telling me it is a completely different game. Hey, you guys are really good at the NFL. We acknowledge that you're really good in the NFL. The intricacies of flag football, you guys don't understand. All right, well, then let's see. I mean, isn't that what competition is, right? Like, competition is, hey, we think we could beat you guys in something. Now, I think the NFL team would smoke them in a flag football game. They seem to think otherwise. I mean, the NFL guys got to get ready playing flag football against somebody, right? They got to do it. So let's see. I want to see how it looks. Sign me up. Sign me up for a June, July random day on ABC. We get to see the team that we are planning on taking over there play the United States actual flag football team. That's something I'd be very, very interested in watching. Let me ask you guys this question, unrelated to flag football. What happens if Joshua Simmons is ahead of schedule and he is a full participant in training camp? Because, at least for me, and I can't speak for anybody else, part of my feeling on Josh Simmons was going to be he wasn't going to be ready, that he was going to be somebody who was going to need to be brought along slowly and wouldn't be ready until August, potentially late August. That doesn't really give you enough time to be ready to play NFL football when you have it poor. Now, I still will maintain, follow the money. You gave Jalen Moore $21 million guaranteed. Jawan Taylor is the third highest paid player on your team. I don't think that either of those individuals are going to be backups next season. But I will say, Joshua Simmons, if he is ahead of schedule, the way that Andy Reid said that he was earlier today, I do think that he could make it very, very interesting. And for a team that just, the Chiefs aren't interesting in August anymore. We're talking about a team that we already know the roster. They are fighting bigger things. If you got to really dig deep for a Carson Steele storyline, then training camp doesn't matter anymore for you. You're a team that's going to win 12, 13, maybe more games. You're going to compete for the AFC Championship game. Them practicing in August can only be so interesting. You know what's interesting, though? A training camp battle at left tackle. A training camp battle at right tackle with who appears to be your future at either one of those positions, pushing the incumbents on both spots and winning out the job. That is by far and away the most interesting storyline that could possibly happen in St. Joe this year.
I mean, you say it's interesting. I'm not saying it's not interesting. But I think why fans gravitate toward running back, quarterback, receiver is, you know what's hard to tell up in St. Joe? Left tackle drills. You know what's really hard to break down for Joe Schmo? How left tackle is being handled. Like, we can keep an eye on reps and monitor things of those natures, but I think left tackle is going to be the story of camp, but I think you're going to get a lot of armchair quarterbacks who are like, all right, I've watched the film from St. Joe's, you know, fans on the sideline. Here's what I thought of rep one versus rep two. It's harder to gauge as a fan. You're right. It's the story, but I think it's harder for Joe and Olathe to keep tabs on that story in St. Joe because skill position player is just easier to break down.
I know no one will admit this because I'm seeing the text line. CDOT, if Simmons is ready, he has to start. Someone else, if Simmons is healthy and a full participant, he's starting week one. Somebody else said, then I would trade Jawan Taylor. They can't trade Jawan Taylor. They can't. They can't. Simple. They can't do it. If Joshua Simmons beats Jalen Moore for the left tackle, they messed up this offseason. It's that simple. There's really no other way to put it. They messed up. If you were telling me that the rookie that you have beats out the player that you were going to pay $21 million to be a backup break in case of emergency, you did not do a great job with the resources that you have in the offseason. Now, it'd be great. And that's not the worst possible thing that could happen. But for a team that did very little in the wide receiver room, for a team that did very little at running back, for a team that did very little at DN and ability to get to the quarterback. If they now got $21 million to spend on their backup left tackle, something went wrong this offseason. Especially when, because someone else says, well, why wouldn't you just move more to left guard? So now the Chiefs are going to overpay their left guard and their right guard? Like, we don't care about positional value or position at all anymore when it comes to the team. Just they're going to have all this money tied up into their left guard, right guard, and a right tackle that nobody likes? That's just not how I would build my roster. So some of this just needs to be, hey, Jalen Moore needs to win out this job. Jalen Moore needs, they paid him $21 million with the expectation that he was ready to go and do all of that. He needs to win this job. Juwan Taylor, you just got to take your medicine for the next year that you were paying him a lot of money to play right tackle. And again, if you could have maybe had the ability of hindsight, and if you thought that there was a chance that Josh Simmons was going to be there, or you were willing to trade up, then you just should have spent that $21 million elsewhere. And your roster would be better if you had done that. If you had spent that $21 million, you know what you can get for $21 million in the offseason? They could have got the best available pass rusher then. You could have got the best available wide receiver at $21 million. Instead, you made minimal improvements to those spots. Your biggest swing in free agency was on a left tackle that you don't think is potentially going to start for the team. I just don't think that's a good allocation of your resources. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to the stadium talk with John Ketz. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right. Me and the text line are on opposite sides of this. You know what? I usually like this. So today, Andy Reid said that Joshua Simmons is ahead of schedule. Now, it's also May. They normally are very positive. My stance on this is simple. If Josh Simmons starts for the Chiefs week one, then the Chiefs messed up somewhere along the line. The text line is saying you can't say that. C-Dot, that's an ignorant way to think. There's no way they could have known that Josh Simmons would have been available to them. Someone else said, C-Dot, this is a rare bad take for you. Hindsight is 20/20. There's no way they knew they were going to get Simmons in the draft. I am looking right now at Chiefs.com. They would do mock drafts every week on Chiefs.com. It started on March 6th. And it went all the way up until April 16th. Rob, guess who is the number one player projected that the Chiefs could get in the NFL draft? Just take a guess.
Josh Simmons?
Josh Simmons. Now, I'm not denying the talent that Josh Simmons is. Not at all. But we can't make it seem like Josh Simmons dropped that far to the Chiefs. Maybe we thought he could go like 27th, 28th. He wasn't going 9th. This isn't like the Chiefs got Armand Mimbu that we were talking about that he was going to go 6th overall or 7th overall to the Jets, and he was there at 32 and you just had to take him. We're not doing that with Joshua Simmons. He was always going to be a late first round pick. And oh wait, the Chiefs select in the late first round. Now, I'm not saying you were wrong to take Joshua Simmons. Take Joshua Simmons. It is better to have the young, very talented left tackle that you think can play either side. My point is just very simple. The Chiefs took one major swing in free agency. They didn't spend any money at wide receiver. They didn't spend any money at running back. They didn't spend any money on the defensive line. They took one big swing. We now think there's a chance that that guy doesn't start for the Chiefs week one? Then you did something wrong then. Either you didn't have the foresight to see how the draft was going to go. If that was the case, then if you thought that Josh Simmons could go 25th overall, I much rather you have kept the 31 or kept the cap space, spent that on a pass rusher to go opposite Chris Jones and opposite George Karlaftis. You then trade up in the NFL draft and then go get the player that you really wanted. And then that answers your question at left tackle. Like, there was a way to handle this. Then if you think that Josh Simmons, I mean, it ain't like it's been that long. I'm sure you guys were, you brought him in. You saw him at the combine. You brought him in for workouts. Like, he's ahead of schedule. He ain't been around that long. You haven't had him for that long. So you've kind of had an idea where this thing could go. Now, it's just May. We're just having conversations. I don't know if he's going to start for this team or not. I'm more talking about the resource. It's a salary cap league. You only have a finite number of resources. That $21 million could have been far better spent than on a backup left tackle that, in theory, you are hoping never has to get on the field because you have the right answer at left tackle with the draft pick that you use.
I actually feel like me and you are on the same page here. I think where the Chiefs messed up, though, is now maybe I don't know, but I don't know Jalen Moore had a market on the first day of free agency. That was one of the first signings that we saw on free agency day. It was legal tamperings open. The Chiefs assigned a guy we've never heard of. Like, I didn't know who Jalen Moore was. You didn't know who Jalen Moore was. Like, if you thought there was a chance Josh Simmons could have fallen, there was a way to play it where you're not spending money on the first day of free agency. Maybe it's just talk, and they're saying he's ahead of schedule, and that means it's week five, not week one. But there was a way to finesse and make it cheaper if you thought you could get Josh Simmons, as opposed to dropping a bag relative on Jalen Moore's feet in the first 5 minutes of free agency. Dan Moore hadn't signed by the time the Chiefs had signed Jalen Moore.
Yeah, and a lot of people are pushing back on this. And again, reasonable minds can disagree. A lot of people are saying, Carrington, you're underestimating the importance of depth. They don't have depth on the other side of the defensive line. What happens if George Karlaftis gets hurt? What's their answer if George Karlaftis gets hurt? Because we're asking that same question in the offensive line, right? Like, I can push the same question back to you. If you have an injury on the offensive line, yes, you now have an answer for it. Josh Simmons can fill in. You can move some pieces around. What happens if George Karlaftis gets hurt? Who fills in for that role? He's your second best pass rusher on the team. I'm just saying is they had $21 million in a salary cap league. You can only spend it on a certain number of players. And for an organization that this year was very, very concerned with, and I get it, in retaining their own players and didn't really go to the outside to try to find reinforcements, they didn't really go outside the organization for anything really other than this one thing. And now we think that that guy could potentially get beat out for the spot. Now, some of it is twofold. Some of it is, A, the money that you gave Jalen Moore. The other thing is there's nothing they can do with Juwan Taylor. Like, people are like, oh, well, why can't you trade him? No one is taking Juwan Taylor right now with his contract. It's not realistic to think that you were trading Juwan Taylor. Not a player who I think has been up and down, inconsistent, and struggled at times. I mean, his cap hit is $27.3 million this year, and he's in the final year essentially of his contract. Unless the Chiefs are willing to eat a substantial amount of money for Juwan Taylor, there's no realistic scenario in which they're trading him in the next 2 months. None. There's no realistic scenario. He's going to be on the team. I would also say that Jalen Moore is going to be on the team. Joshua Simmons is going to be on the team. They have three people fighting for two spots. One person is not getting paid a lot of money just based on where he got drafted. The other two people are getting paid a lot of money to go out there and play.
I mean, Jalen Moore's contract's also a two-year deal. Maybe the plan is one of them becomes the right tackle or heir apparent. Maybe Josh Simmons is the right tackle and Jalen Moore is the left tackle. Like, they still, as the heir apparent, like, Josh Simmons, I think, creates some flexibility, but Juwan Taylor is starting in some form or fashion this year. He's too expensive not to.
So let's get to, and we'll get back to this. We have certainly a lot of time to argue about the Chiefs offensive line. It is just May 29th. So trust me, this will not be the last time we have this conversation. Earlier today, I got a chance to catch up with Jonathan Ketz. He is with Fox 4. We talked a lot about this stadium issue. If you guys missed it, the Royals have picked up the mortgage for the Asperia property out on 119th and Null. My conversation with Jonathan Ketz starts with, to the best of your ability, can you explain what is happening with the Royals in this location?
Well, I think Occidental Management, who owns that property, who I believe still owns that property, they're out of Wichita. They've had trouble paying off their loan, and it's become known in the investment and the banking community. I think the Royals are either A, they're interested in that site, or B, it's interesting that this has come out right before the Missouri legislature goes back to Jeff City in what, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 days to talk about a sports incentive package for both the Chiefs and the Royals. So what I'm trying to figure out is whether this is a leverage play for the Royals, or they are truly serious about this site. And hopefully we know more once the Missouri legislature goes back to Jeff City. But, you know, star bonds run out in the end of June, and the special session should be wrapped up before then. So hopefully we have answers in less than a month.
So let's go down both paths of this and kind of tackle this thing, because I think your read on it is correct. The Royals are either very serious about this space, or they are using this as leverage against Missouri. Hey, we told you guys, we are not afraid to build our next stadium here. Which side are you leaning towards? What does your gut say? What do you think is the more likely option out of those two?
I think the Royals are interested in downtown if the Missouri legislature gets the stadium incentive package done. But I do think it is much easier for them to look at, say, 119th and Nall if the Missouri legislature doesn't improve the stadium package that Governor Mike Kehoe wants. It was interesting earlier this week when I talked to the mayor of Kansas City. He basically said that if the legislature gets its job done via a parks board vote and a city council vote, this could be done fairly quickly in Kansas City, Missouri. And so, yes, city leaders are focused on Washington Square Park. You may be able to avoid a vote of the people, because if the Parks Department owns the ground that the ballpark is on, that wouldn't require a vote of the people if they continue to own that piece of property, even if the stadium is owned by somebody else, but maybe it still is owned by the Parks Department. It was surprising to me how quickly the mayor thought the city could get something done, but I think it hinges on the Missouri legislature.
He had a very similar tone when he joined us a bit ago, too. Do you think that's just politics? Because all of the momentum appears to be on the Kansas side. I mean, this is something substantial. I mean, the Royals spent $164 million, we are believed, on this site. That's a substantial amount of money. That's a big investment to then turn around and try to use it as leverage. Do you think that Missouri is just kind of giving off a facade of confidence when this thing is really starting to trend towards the Royals and the Chiefs going to Kansas?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's a good question. I will say that from the reporting that my colleague Jacob Sloan did last night, he talked to leaders at the Jewish community campus. They actually own some of the ground in that 119th Nall area. It's, of course, where the Jewish Community Center is now. They say that they're not for sale. The other thing about that $164 million amount, I believe Asperia bought it for a lot more. So the point being, I think if the Royals or this affiliated entity, if they wanted to, I think that they could resell this ground in Overland Park for a lot more than what they paid for. And so that's part of the reason why I still think Missouri is still in play, and the special session will help tell that. But, you know, this affiliated entity could do something else with that site at 119th and Nall if Asperia has trouble, or I guess I should say Occidental Management has trouble paying off that loan.
One question that I have toward the Royals, and I'm not sure if we'll get this answer yet, is I wonder if the Royals want a new stadium or a new downtown stadium, because those are two different things. Like, what I think the Royals' problem is, at least when it comes to drawing fans during the week, that doesn't change with this new location. The same way that people have a problem driving out to the stadium now on a Tuesday to watch them against the Reds, those same people are now going to have a problem leaving Lee's Summit, leaving Blue Springs, leaving the Missouri side to drive to 119th and all for a Wednesday baseball game, too, where if you find a more central location, I think you could eliminate potentially some of those problems. I really want to, if the Royals just want a new stadium and they don't really care in the city where it is, or if they are very, very particular about where that stadium will ultimately land.
Well, to me, conceivably, a more centralized downtown ballpark makes sense if you try to capitalize more on the workforce that's already there during the day to go catch a 6:40 game at night. I mean, I think, you know, with the vote failing in April, I think part of the problem is the Royals don't know whether or not they can win a vote of the people of an entity, whether you're talking about Kansas City, Missouri, or Jackson County. So I do think that I think that is an advantage that Kansas has. I don't know if Starbonds, though, can give the Royals or the Chiefs what the general public assumes it can. I don't know if there is the interest in the private market to buy those bonds. But there are challenges on both sides. And one of the challenges, whether it's if it was going to still be a county-owned ballpark, is I don't know if the Royals can win a public vote. And the question with Washington Square Park is, can the Royals get enough city incentives to where they could avoid a public vote, to where they'd be interested in that site?
Right now, we're talking to Jonathan Ketz about the news surrounding the Royals. If you missed it yesterday, the Royals purchased the mortgage through an affiliate on the Asperia campus on 119th and all out in Overland Park. Are you optimistic that we are going to get some kind of closure to this coming up soon? I mean, it feels like things are starting to push forward in that direction. You mentioned the optimism around the mayor of Kansas City. We also have the June 30th deadline when it comes to the Starbonds. It sounds like we could potentially have this wrapped up in the next month.
Well, that's basically what the mayor told me on Tuesday when I talked to him. I think that, again, that hinges on the special session coming up in Missouri. I guess the only other thing that I would add is I think that if we're talking about a new stadium for the Royals, and that's always what they talked about, the Chiefs have seemingly discussed a renovation at Arrowhead if they're not going to build new in Kansas. I mean, this project would have to start soon. Otherwise, again, you got to give credit over to Thomas Friesen over the Business Journal. He was also the one that reported on how, you know, there are 2 5-year extension leases at the Truman Sports Complex. So they could extend their lease for either 5 or 10 years. And if the ball isn't rolling on a new stadium and the Royals don't know where they're going to build, they may have to play games at Kauffman Stadium starting in the 2031 Major League Baseball season.
How confident are you that Missouri is going to be able to get this vote to pass in a couple of weeks?
That's another good question. I think it's going to be close. There is arm twisting that I think Governor Kehoe is doing right now. I did talk to a state senator who's actually from Eastern Jackson County, who is actually a vote no person on the incentive package at the end of the regular session. And he was a vote no person because we have heard all the talk about high property taxes in Jackson County since the summer of 2023. And he wants property tax relief talked about during the special session first, before he would support a stadium package for our hometown teams.
John, we've had this entire conversation. I haven't asked you one question about the Chiefs. I don't think that this specific conversation is about the Chiefs, but where do you think the Chiefs are in this conversation? Where do you think the Chiefs are in their thought process about what they want to do? We still have no clarity on the future of where they currently are. And I think a lot of the conversation has always been, well, whenever the Royals know what they're going to do, and now we see what's going to happen with the future of the Truman Sports Complex, we'll have a much clearer picture. Where do you think the Chiefs are in all of this?
I mean, I think the Chiefs would love to be untied from the Royals with the county, meaning I think that they would either A, like for the Royals to be in Kansas, B, like for the, we haven't even talked about North Kansas City, B, for the Royals to be there, or C, be at Washington Square Park and no longer getting county sales tax dollars. And something that I have heard, which may be interesting, I mean, I'm wondering if the Chiefs would be willing to be on a November ballot in Jackson County by themselves. I think that's something else that I would love to confirm here soon.
I mean, you would have to think, if that ends up being the case, that that passes in Jackson County. If you were saying that the same vote that we had, now all of this money goes towards the Kansas City Chiefs, given how successful they've been, given how popular it is, given the fear of them moving to Kansas, I think that's a vote that passes in Missouri.
If it's away from the Royals, I think, one, you're right, and two, you may be able to sell it as a, you know, keep in mind the Chiefs only get 3/16 of the sales tax money because they split it with the Royals. So 3/16 plus 3/16, that gets you to the 3/8 that Jackson County shoppers pay right now. But what if the ask is 0.25 cent, 0.625 cents? Technically, you could sell that as a discount from the current tax, if you will. And if it all goes to the Chiefs, then they're still getting more money than what they currently get in the current structure.
This would be my question, though, to the Chiefs. And it seems hard to me to fight. One entity is offering a renovation for what you have, where the other side is offering you a brand new, beautiful stadium that we all love Arrowhead. But on the other side of the state line, they are offering to build you SoFi Stadium. They are offering to build you Allegiant. Most people, if they are given the option to have work done to their current car or somebody else buy them a brand new one, most people are going to take the brand new car. And that's where I think the deal that they have offered in Kansas, ultimately, it is just too sweet of a deal to walk away from.
I don't know if the interest in bond buyers in the private market will be at that 70% level that has been talked about. And that's why I still don't know if new stadiums would be the future for both teams. I wonder if the Chiefs can get a better deal in Jackson County if the sales tax can pass, which goes back to your last question. I think there is a much better chance of a sales tax passing in Jackson County if only the Chiefs are on the ballot.
Jonathan, I'll ask you a random question that I've never asked you before. What is your favorite ice cream flavor?
My favorite ice cream flavor? Do you really want me to tell you my favorite ice cream flavor?
Yeah, of course.
You know what? I'll go back to my, you know, I'm from here, but I spent 9 years in the Quad Cities. I can't believe them. There's a great ice cream place in the Quad Cities called Whitey's. And my favorite ice cream, I'm going to sound like a six-year-old. Hopefully Rob doesn't give me crap about this. My favorite ice cream is bubblegum flavor. I get a bubblegum flavored shake when I go to Whitey's in the Quad Cities.
That is Jonathan Katz joining us on the show. John, I know that's not something you were expecting today, that we learned that you love bubblegum ice cream. That's the kind of hard-hitting journalism that we do on this show. While you're out chasing stadium information, we find out people's favorite flavor of ice cream.
I'm working for you, C-Dot.
Rob, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream? I don't think you and I have ever gotten ice cream before. We've gotten a lot of other kinds of foods before. I don't know if you and I have ever had ice cream together. What's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Well, first off, I know we're up against a break. Bubble gum? Jonathan, what are you, 7 years old? And to get it in a shake makes it so much worse. Just despicable behavior. I digress.
A bubble gum ice cream shake is, yeah, that is a wild answer.
I mean, just, ugh, what is he doing? Coffee flavored ice cream is my favorite ice cream.
I regret asking you. That might actually be worse than what Jonathan Katz just said. Coffee flavored ice cream? That's your favorite of all the flavors? That's your number one?
Coffee ice cream with some chocolate chips in it, man. That's, whew, gets the people going.
I'm really simple when it comes to ice cream flavor. Cookies and cream is very high up on my list. Chocolate chip ice cream is also very high on my list. I also like strawberry shortcake. I like a little strawberry flavored ice cream. I'm a big fan of that. Coffee. I would have never guessed that coffee was your favorite ice cream flavor.
Coming up on the other side, I think Ket said something very interesting about the Chiefs and their involvement in all of this. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. So Drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike Scott.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This.
All right. People on the text line are telling me what their favorite ice cream is. I'm here for that. 913-586-7965. If you guys want to let me know what your favorite ice cream is, I'm happy to get your opinion. Someone on the text line says the best ice cream in the world is at Brahms. I've blocked you from the text line. There aren't a lot of things that get you blocked. For those of you that text the show, we might have a little back and forth, but I don't ever block you from the text line. You got to be real out of pocket for me to block you. You guys know the rules. Don't be racist. Don't be homophobic. As long as you follow those rules or don't just spam the text line, I usually leave you alone. Say what you want to say. I blocked one person for saying that Coming to America was overrated. If you think the best ice cream in the world is at Brahms, I don't know if you could use the text line anymore. I think you should be done.
I mean, it's not the best in the world, but Brahms, it's a fire burger and shake. Oh, here we go. No, don't do this. Brahms is worth a trip to Emporia.
No, Brahms is another one of those places that you only feel that way because it's exclusive. There's not that many of them. Brahms is not better than Culver's. Brahms does not make better foods than
Culver's. Brahms is better than Culver's.
It does not make better food than Culver's. Brahms isn't better than Freddy's.
Brahms is better than Freddy's and than Culver's.
Not at all. Best ice cream in the world.
I disagree with best ice cream in the world, but if you want a good burger, good fries, and a good shake,
okay,
nice and full,
Brahms is... High Boy in Branson, Missouri. That's what you guys are excited about. It's very overrated food. Very overrated. Someone you know, they have one in Joplin. It wasn't that far from my dorm. It's very overrated. I can't believe you guys feel that way about Brahms. Mediocre meals. There's nothing the text line loves more than a mediocre meal.
I mean, the text line is pumping out terrible suggestions, but it's good. Is the best? No, but it's good.
Okay. All right. I just wanted you guys' opinion on your favorite ice cream. If you want to text it in, 913-586-7965. You guys want to text in, I'd be happy to hear your favorite ice cream. Jonathan Ketz actually said something very interesting today about the Chiefs. This is what he said.
I mean, I think the Chiefs would love to be untied from the Royals with the county, meaning I think that they would – either A, like for the Royals to be in Kansas, B, like for the – we haven't even talked about North Kansas City, B, for the Royals to be there, or C, be at Washington Square Park and no longer getting county sales tax dollars. And something that I have heard, which may be interesting, I mean, I'm wondering if the Chiefs would be willing to be on a November ballot in Jackson County by themselves. I think that's something else that I would love to confirm here soon.
I don't think the Royals would pass a vote. I believe the Chiefs would pass a vote. This is the analogy that I will make. And I think we all feel this way. There's some people in your life that can make a certain joke. Rob and I have established a relationship that there's jokes that Rob can make to me, and I don't take offense to him. Rob's my guy. If Rob's replacement came in and made the same joke, I would look at Rob's replacement funny like, I don't know why you think we're cool enough for you to make this joke. I think we all have this. You might have this. Well, we're not paying for billionaire stadiums. You'll tell that to John Sherman. You ain't telling that to Clark Hunt. You're not telling that to Patrick Mahomes. Now, I think a major reason why the Chiefs' vote failed the last time is, A, it was attached to the Royals, and I just think it was kind of, meh. I don't think their last renovation plan was bad. I just think it was very, eh. If the Chiefs came back to you in November We love Arrowhead the way that you love Arrowhead. We don't want to go to Kansas. We have put together a stadium that treats Arrowhead like the treasure that it is. We see Arrowhead like Lambeau. We see Arrowhead like Wrigley Field, a place that people will come from around the world to come visit because we think we have the best football environment in America. And we want to preserve that with the $1.5 billion renovation that keeps the structure, keeps it where it is, keeps your same parking spot for you to come out to tailgate, but also keeps us competitive with the new stadiums around the National Football League. You will give the Chiefs the money they ask for. I don't know if John Sherman has the ability to ask you for that right now for a lot of different reasons. A, he's never really handed you anything. Sure, they made the playoffs last year. The other person has handed you multiple Super Bowl trophies. I don't think the Royals can ask for the money the way that the Chiefs can. I'm reading right now a letter from the Missouri Freedom Caucus. I don't have to read the entire thing, but it's the same sentiment you've heard. We're not going to bail out billionaire owners. They should pay for their own stadium. Okay. I mean, in theory, I agree with you guys. Like, I don't want you to think that I'm like, man, you know what our responsibility is? Our responsibility is to take our hard-earned money and it's to give it to the Royals to pay for their stadium. I mean, I don't really want to do it. I also don't really think we have a choice. What's our saying on this show, Rob? We can complain about the way that things are, or we can deal with how things are. Sure, you can complain all you want. Man, I don't really want to do it. You don't have a choice. Do you want the NFL in Kansas City? Do you want Major League Baseball in Kansas City? Well, it costs. And they're telling you what the cover charge is. It's this tax. So Missouri, they've asked you one time, do you want it? And you said no. They will not ask you too many more times. Maybe you don't get asked the second time and they just move across state line. And maybe you're just like, I don't care. And that's, you're allowed to not care. You're allowed to not care if the Royals are in 119th and Nall or if the Chiefs are at the Legends. Hey, I don't care that much about it. I only go out there once, maybe twice a year. I don't have any problem driving out there. You are well within your bounds to have that opinion. But I'm telling you, then somebody is paying for it. It is not going to be 100% privately funded. Very few stadiums in America are. I think the Cowboys Stadium is. We could kind of look through it. It's certainly less than five. There are not that many of these stadiums that are 100% privately funded. They get the money from somewhere. From somewhere. Arrowhead, or whatever they call the new stadium, or New Kauffman, it will be no different. Somebody is paying for it. The question is, are the people in Jackson County going to be paying for it, or for the people in Johnson and Wyandotte County? But one of those groups, they will be paying a substantial amount of money to be the host for either the Chiefs or the Royals. That's how this works.
You mentioned the, you know, you're right. I've read the caucus letter too. Your question about, you know, they will ask you maybe once, maybe twice. I feel like that the Royals and Chiefs asked the voters of Jackson County once. They got told emphatically no. Since then, and this is to your point about the way the world is versus the way the world should be, since the voters said no, both teams are now asking the question of politicians. And I think the question now boils down to, which political state do you trust to get the answer of their coming to be here? Because it seems like every time that question gets asked of Kansas politicians, it's they're all in unison. We want both. I can play the cut. Dan Hawkins is the Speaker of the House, and he says he feels good that they could get both teams over. Ask a Missouri politician. You get one answer from Mayor Lucas. You get no answer from Frank White. You get a different answer from the Senate. You get a different answer from the governor. You get a different answer from the Freedom Caucus and the senator. It's if the Royals and Chiefs are asking, hey, who's going to be keeping us and who's going to pay? Kansas seems to be saying, we got you. And Missouri seems to be saying 17 different messages.
Yeah, and I do think, at least in this regard, and I know we're up against it, I'll make this point quick. Someone on the text line says, CDOT, you can thank Casey Tenet and all their dumb activist voters. And a lot of this, I think that in some ways, you guys let the Royals off for a really, really bad plan. Tomorrow, if your brother calls you and asks for $200 and says, hey, can I borrow $200? And you ask him what for? You are allowed to not give him the money if he doesn't give you an answer that's up to your liking. Like, I know you're my brother, but hey, you asked for $200. Hey, what do you need the money for? Oh, well, no, I'm not paying $200 so you can have the deluxe version of Madden. No, I'm not giving you that money. I do think in some ways it is just sort of, well, I mean, the Browns asked you for the money. Well, the Bears asked you for the money. I mean, you got to give it to them. The Royals' plan was bad. The Chiefs' plan was bad. You can say no to a bad plan, and no, I don't want to give you my money for a bad plan. I don't think that it took Casey Tenets to point out the fact that there were a lot of holes in their plan. The number one indictment to me on the Royals during that time is they waited until 1:30 on the day that the vote was open to get approval from the KC Crossroads Community Initiative. How did you not have this in place from the very, very beginning? Now, I think the Royals are doing a much better job of handling these things behind the scenes and trying to get everything in order. And the Chiefs have just never really been out in public with a lot of these things. But I will always defend your ability, even though I voted yes on this. Just because the Chiefs ask you to give you their money, it doesn't mean you automatically have to give it to them. You got to prove why I should give you the money before I just give it to you. We'll keep talking about this coming up on the other side. Plus, we'll talk about Noah Cameron and Jack Caglione. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.